And first of all, this article in the Gippsland Anglican, is it representative of the church's position or your position?
It's my position.
Right.
And the audience to the Gippsland Anglican are members of the church. And I feel that I need to keep them informed about issues in the community, about which I think we as members of the church should be concerned. And of course, many members of the church are in fact landholders themselves.
Okay, so formally your position is what? On coal seam gas that
I think that what I'm saying, and in listening to landowners, and that's what I've been doing, is that we need to take some great care here, because there is clear evidence from other parts of Australia that there are severe environmental impacts. And particularly in Gippsland, I think it's an issue because we're such a, well, we're a food bowl. And we have aquifers, and some of the indicators are that there's the risk of corruption of the aquifers, for example, and the impact for us would be devastating as a community. And some of the impact also could be on farming. So because of those kinds of issues, I think if there is to be any exploration, there should be some sort of environmental impact study that precedes it.
Yeah.
I'm not an expert on these matters. What I'm doing,
I'm interested in how you have formulated this opinion, because so many people who have called the program or who we have spoken to in relation to this have found it really difficult to find information. There are others who have found it difficult to find independent information as well. So how have you formed this opinion?
Well, I've been to a public meeting at which there were representatives from Exxon, and there were landowners, and there were people from Lock the Gate Gippsland, and they referred to some of the websites, such as the Western Downs Group Action, which is obviously from the Western Downs, where coal seam gas is already in action. And, you know, some of the stories that they tell are, you know, significant increase in incidents of people taking their children to doctors, for example, bleeding from the nose and mouth, nose and ears, you know. And I sort of think, well, you know, those sorts of things at that level, you know, they're anecdotal. But there also seems to be evidence that's beginning to amass about the environmental impact, the sort of things that are released into the atmosphere as well as into the soil and potentially into the water. These are all alarming possibilities, particularly in a food production area.
Yeah, possibilities though, you have to stress that, because we're finding it awfully difficult to get information that says something definitive.
Yeah, and I think that's why I think it would be important for the landowner's voice to be heard. And many of them are saying, I've yet to hear a landowner, I'm not saying they're not out there, who is actually in favour of coal seam gas exploration in Gippsland. And I think that what we do need to do is have some greater certainties, and surely an attempted environmental impact statement would be a good thing for the government to enter into before we just let this, even the exploration, go ahead. We're not even sure how much gas is down there. It may be found that there's not enough to commercially produce it. But it seems to me that if it is true, and it sounds like it is, that one of the things that does happen when you drill into coal seams is that you can release quite significant toxins, then we need even to be very careful about exploration, let alone fracking. I mean, they're saying that because it's brown coal, they may not have to frack. But if it involves fracking, when they do eventually get to the commercial exploration, then that involves pumping, you know, chemicals into the ground. And what's the impact of that? It seems to me that we at least need to be doing some more evaluation. And that, because I'm not an expert, all I'm doing is listening to the various voices. I mean, I listened to the Exxon people who were there at that meeting as well, and they're saying that if this works, then we'll have a cleaner form of power generation. It's cleaner to use gas, brown coal. Well, that'd be fantastic. But if it corrupts the aquifers, that's not fantastic.
It sounds
at all.
Like you're yet to be convinced, though, of the safety of the methods used. By the sounds
I think
of
that's all I'm saying. I'm yet to be convinced from the bits that I'm hearing. Mm. And I acknowledge, and I'm not claiming to be an expert, what I'm doing is listening to different voices at the moment. I haven't written any of the voices off, to be quite honest with you, but I think further evaluation needs to take place before we jump into this.
I want to debate with you that you say there that you haven't written off any of the voices yet. It appears in your article that you have written off the National Party as being a supporter of farmers.
Well, I did that to be a little bit provocative, I guess, because it strikes me that too often, and I would say this is across the board, a lot of decisions that get made by governments are made sometimes more often for political reasons than they are for actually looking at the facts of the matter. And I would say that about every political party. I'm not being bipartisan in saying this. The thing that surprises me a little bit about the National Party at this point in time is that they, of all parties, should be standing, I believe, with the landholders. They're a rural regional party and they claim to be a voice for them. And as I said before, I've yet to hear the landowner's voice who is comfortable about this in Gippsland, not only because there's not enough evidence about coal seam gas exploration, but also because many of them have had less than adequate dealings with Exxon. Around the gas plant in Longford, I heard some of those landholders speaking, and they're very concerned about the transparency of this company, and yet they're the lead company in this exploration. And so I would have expected the coalition government of Victoria under pressure from the Nationals to perhaps be coming in a little bit more strongly about asking a few more questions.
Okay. Well, a couple of points there. I know that the leader of the Nationals, Peter Ryan, has said on a couple of occasions that we won't let the landholders down. But also, too, if mining in Victoria is governed by a Mining Act, there's not really a lot the politicians can do, really, if they've got to follow the Mining Act, which sets out the parameters for exploration. It's not like they can take a position on it. They have to remain fairly neutral.
Well, I think that the position they could take is to engage with the mining companies around doing appropriate environmental impact studies before they enter in. And also, I think the other thing that could happen is that clearly groups like Lock the Gate are saying that there are some parameters that you can set up in negotiating with representatives from the exploration companies. And, for example, it seems that what often happens is that there's little attempt on the part of the exploration companies to, say, do the equivalent of collective bargaining with farmers. And so, you know, they go in one-on-one and they do deals with individual farmers. Now, if a farmer happens to be one who's really struggling at the moment and is looking for any source of income because what's happening for them is not brilliant, then they're going to be an easy target. You know, sorry to sound a bit cynical, but it seems to me that if they were willing to sit down with a group of farmers in a given area and come up with a reasonable, if you like, price to allow them onto their land, but they're not committing to working with groups. I actually asked that question at the public meeting and they avoided it. Mm. So it seems to me that government can play a part in standing alongside farmers in those kinds of ways. I'm aware that in the end, you know, what happens because those rights are there for exploration. But there are ways and means of going about it that give greater protection to landowners.
Yeah. I just wonder, you are a community leader, Bishop John, in forming an opinion, I'm not saying you're not allowed to have an opinion, but one would think that often community leaders in your position would have to be quite neutral, given that you have a view of different, a range of different views within the church and within your parishioners. Are you isolating people by forming your own opinion and publishing it in that newspaper?
I'm just trying to provoke conversation. I do have this opinion. I mean, if you want me to go the full hog on what my opinion is, I have real concerns that there's not greater investment in so-called green energy. It seems to me that sometimes decisions are made, again, for political reasons, because of the power of the mining and resources sector in Australia, when you know, things like, for example, that you can actually reject the possibility of a wind farm if you live within 2 kilometres of it, but you can do nothing about an exploration company coming onto your land. I think, you know, I have some fairly strong opinions about energy and power generation that I actually haven't put in this article.
Yeah.
But what I do try to do, and I think is part of my role, is not to say you must agree with me to the people in the church, and they are the ones that effectively I am writing to in these articles. I'm aware there is a wider audience. But to say, well, let's start talking about this. And in this article, one of the things I am saying is let's listen to the landowners, because, as I say, there may be landowners out there who are waiting to invite the exploration onto their land, but I haven't heard from them yet. I've heard from a lot of others.
Okay. Can you, this is an emerging debate within our community, and certainly it's fired up in a lot of other states and other communities. Is there something you can compare this to in all your experience and years of being a community leader? Is there an issue that you could compare this to in terms of the, I guess, the passion and the range of differing views, the lack of information, government involvement? Is there something that you can draw on from the past that we can compare us with?
That's an interesting question. I think the issues around Indigenous land rights, for example, would be one.
I guess I'm just curious because we're at a very interesting point of it. It's quite the start of it, and it's not often you get an opportunity as a journalist or even as a member of the community to watch it as a growing event. So I was just wondering whether you had seen something along the same lines. In which there had been some very strong views expressed.
Yeah, look, I think probably, you know, now that I'm thinking about it, I think probably the Indigenous land rights issue was another one. And you know, during the era when John Howard was the Prime Minister, there was quite a heated debate about, you know, whether or not my backyard could be taken, sort of stuff, which... And there's a lot of disinformation out there, and I'm aware of that possibility of disinformation, which is why you have to be careful and why I've sought to be fairly balanced, or I think I have, in the article. And I've, you know, I put Exxon's claim there about even, you know, if it's successful, there would even be another supply of water because there's water in coal seams. And the question is, what would it be like, and whether or not getting to it would corrupt the current water sources that we have. You know, these are the things that we have to sort through. So I've tried, you know, as the Exxon people did at that public meeting, I've tried to put their case as well, and say that we can't just write that off as a possibility. I mean, if it's another source of gas, which is cleaner than brown coal, well, good, terrific, as long as it's safe to get to it, and as long as it doesn't put under threat this incredibly important food bowl in Australia and what it produces, that would be disastrous.
Mm. Very interesting. Bottom line is, though, that you would like to see an environmental impact statement done on all exploration areas, potential exploration areas.
Well, I think that with the knowledge of what's already happening in other areas and getting gleaning information from that, but also looking into the particulars of the areas where they're suggesting that this exploration takes place. And there are quite a few parts of Gippsland. I was driving through Mardan yesterday and I noticed a lock the gate sign.
In South Gippsland.
In South Gippsland. Mm. So,
would you lock the gate if you were a landholder with what you your opinion and what you understand of it.
Yes,
now.
I would. I would lock the gate and I would invite my neighbours to do the same, and I would gather together with them and negotiate with them so that we had a base to negotiate with the companies when they press their rights. Mm.